Greetings, everybody. This is a Travel Addict podcast where you can hear candid stories and discussions about business and adventure travel from around the world, with activities such as trekking, diving, camping, driving, cruising, and just plain chilling out somewhere. We talk about lots of experiences in places all over the world, including the grand, the remote, the edgy, the risque, and ones of questionable merit. Education, fulfillment, and wonder enrich our lives. And of all the books in the world, the best stories are found between the pages of a passport. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. Malcolm Teasdale here, the Travel Addict. I'm talking with someone today from the other side of the planet. This isn't easy because it's 12 hours from my time zone, so that was easy to comprehend. Today is Mitch Metzger, and he's in the wonderful city of Bangkok, Thailand, and he teaches, but he teaches teachers. I think I've got that right. And I think that's a great thing to do. So we're going to get right into this. Mitch, how are you doing in the great city of Bangkok?
Very good. Yeah. You know, Bangkok's a great place to be. Always an adventure. Had some incredibly spicy food for lunch, so I'm definitely feeling it here at 9 p.m., but happy to be here.
What did you have, like an extra spicy pad thai or something?
So it's called mupala, and it's grilled pork, but then it's a fermented fish sauce with chilies, like raw chilies in it. I really like it. It's definitely an acquired taste, the fermented fish sauce. But it's like once you enjoy it,
they don't sell. Yeah. I don't think they have that on the menu at my local Thai restaurant here. No. You know, but I have to remember that and ask them about it next time I'm in there. Okay,
light their eyes up. Yeah, they'd love to hear that.
Well, you're over there because you train teachers. Doing English teaching overseas when I was growing up never existed, because if it did, it would have piqued my interest and I probably would have done it, you know, because I think it's a great thing to do. But you're over in Asia doing this. And, you know, I've got some questions with regards to that. What was your decision to get into this line of work?
Yeah, it's a long story, but I guess that's...
Give me a two-minute version.
So I'm, you know, I'm in America and not really an exciting place. And it's a very conservative place. And one thing I've noticed as I travel around the world is I think a lot of people kind of have a distaste for their own home. I think that's what causes a lot of people to travel. And as I've traveled more and seen why, I think it's because where we grow up kind of becomes an echo chamber of the same ideas. And a lot of people can sense that that is limiting their growth. And so for me, being in Indiana, and especially somebody who, you know, leans a little bit more progressive, was always a bit rebellious and adventurous. You know, in the Midwest, people don't question things. You don't question things. You follow the track, you get a job after college,
exactly.
Work for 40 years, and then you die. And so that always just kind of scared the hell out of me. And so I told my family, I was like, I'm going to leave and go traveling, and I'm just going to travel until I find somewhere or someone that convinces me to stay. And so, you know, I traveled around, hit like 28 countries, and then ended up teaching in Thailand just as something to do, and kind of simultaneously fell in love with teaching and with Thailand. It was just something that I kind of fell into. You know, it's a way to continue traveling, to get paid, to get a visa. Like, I didn't do it for all the right reasons, but once I fell into it, it clicked. It really, I realized that I'd always been looking for meaning and purpose, like something to do that was beyond myself.
Yeah.
And teaching specifically, and especially teaching English abroad, that was it, right? That really kind of struck a chord internally. And I didn't even know what I was looking for, but I knew when I found it. So,
yeah. Excellent. Where are you originally from?
Indianapolis, Indiana. Yeah.
Well, that would have been my first guess.
A small city in a farming state, for sure. So.
That's right. All right.
I'm a little bit of a redneck when I travel abroad. I meet people from like New York, LA, and they're all cultured. And I'm like, hey, Indiana, man, we got Target and Marsh. So,
all right. Well, that's excellent. How long ago did you get into this? How many years ago?
Yeah, so I've been in Thailand for 5-6 years actually. So it was our 6 year anniversary back in September. I've been doing this for 3 years. Our first year, we were in the middle of nowhere. So I've been in Bangkok for 5 years, Thailand for six.
Yeah.
And quite a few interesting stories from that year. And it's called Wang Nam Yen, Thailand, 6 hours outside of Bangkok on the Cambodian border. So that was our first year. And it was intense. It was very immersive.
Okay. This was a smaller town, was it?
It was the side of the road. We were the only foreigners for hundreds of miles. Like, we had to take a 6 hour van to get back to Bangkok where there were other foreigners. So it was full on, like 20 square meter apartment, which is like a couple hundred square feet, bucket flush toilet, giant venomous centipedes, scorpions, like just full on. But it was awesome. Like, it was, yeah.
Well, scorpions in Thailand, you can eat fried scorpions. I know that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah. It tastes there. It's more of a gimmick, really. Thai people don't eat scorpions. We do eat bugs, though. I say we, like, I'm Thai now. Okay. But it is common to eat the crickets and the mealworms, but scorpions is really just kind of like really only on Khao San for tour. Like, it's not part of the diet, but you can't eat them.
Okay. I don't just remember being at the bar at Phuket. Someone walked in with a bunch of
walks up with a scorpion on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
How bad can it be?
Just for like good health.
Yeah. Okay. So begs a question. I could go to Thailand, but then go to like an obscure town close to the Cambodian border. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but there must be something in your head while you're in Thailand. You might as well go to sort of off the beaten path and do this. Why? Why don't you just hang around in like Bangkok or go to Chiang Mai or go to Phuket, whatever?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, I told my program when I came that I wanted that. I wanted to be somewhere where there were no other foreigners. I wanted to push myself as far outside of my comfort zone as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And see what happened. Like, it was kind of, I was just experimenting with life and seeing what would happen. And so, you know, they found that. I mean, it was insane. Nobody spoke any English. You know, they dropped me off on the side of the road and I was just like shocked. And it, you know, culture shock hit me really hard. It was a brutal year. You know, I'm very grateful for the experience, very happy that I did it, but it was incredibly challenging. But yeah, that's why I did it. I wanted to push myself as far outside of my comfort zone as possible. And that's part of the reason I settled in Thailand too, as opposed to like Europe or New Zealand where I'd lived before. I just wanted to be somewhere that was radically different and see what would happen if I put myself in that position.
Yeah, I understand clearly. I'm in Thailand once a year. And
yeah, nice.
Out of all the countries, I just find it very welcoming. It's rich culture. And, you know, it's just, it does something to me. I just like being there. And sometimes when I go over to Asia, I'll always stop in Thailand, typically Bangkok, just for 2 days to rest before going off somewhere else. But you know why? Because I feel comfortable there. You know, it's safe.
Absolutely. Safe, comfortable. Like, it, that's kind of what made me fall in love. I mean, when I came out here, I couldn't tell you Thailand from Taiwan. I knew nothing about Thailand. I actually think that played to my benefit because I didn't have any expectations.
Yeah.
But that's definitely what made me fall in love is there's people here are so welcoming. And they have a word called Jai Di, which is like good heart. They have that good heart. They look after each other. You know, one story from Wang Nam Yen actually. So I was going on like a trip to the islands, and in Thailand, you can kind of park your bike anywhere, right? There's not really any parking zoning laws.
Right.
So I park my bike on the side of the street and I go to an island for a couple of days and I come back and my bike is gone. Right. And I'm from America. I assume it's stolen and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, someone stole my bike. Like, this is crazy. I didn't think this was happening in this small town in Wang Nam Yen. And this old couple comes over and like is trying to get my attention. I was like, guys, like I'm dealing with something here. I'm not trying to have a conversation with you and like try to speak Thai. And they point inside their house and they brought my bike in because it was rainy season. And I didn't know that. And it was pouring down every day. And they'd put my bike inside of their house to take care of it and just keep it from getting rained on and rusting. And,
right. That's amazing because that for people to think like that and do that act is amazing. And
exactly.
Where are you now in Bangkok relative to Sukhumvit Road? By the way, everybody, Sukhumvit Road is probably one of the main streets through the city of Bangkok. So it's a good place to hang out. Are you anywhere near that?
We are closer to like the Grand Palace and Khaosan Road, if you go there. But yeah, we're like right on the other side of the river from the Grand Palace. Same side as Wateroon. We're about 5 minutes from Wateroon.
Okay.
I like to do it over here because again, we're bringing people and they'll live in Bangkok for a month, our new teachers, while we train them. And I found that Bangkok can be a bit overwhelming for people when they first move here, especially if you're in Sukhumvit.
Yeah.
And like our village neighborhood, they call them villages here, really local neighborhood. We can hear the birds in the morning, a lot of like local food, everything's cheaper. So meals in Sukhumvit will be like 60 to 100. Out here, it's like 40 baht. So it kind of gives them like a little slice of a more local feeling. Yeah. Then they're 5 minutes away from, you know, the Grand Palace in Khaosan. They're 10 minutes away from CM Square. So it's kind of like close to things, but then you've got a little bit of breathing room out here on the other side of the river.
Okay. Now, the train wouldn't go over there. The MRT doesn't go over
there. The MRT does, yeah. We're 3 minutes away from Bang Yikan, which is just one of the MRT stops.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a cool thing. You know, every time I've been there, if you want to go to the other end of Sukhumvit for whatever reason, you just hop on the MRT and you're there in a few minutes, right?
And they're expanding it. They're expanding it every week. They're building in new stations. And so I think this year there's like 18 new stations planned.
Really?
So they're really expanding. Yeah, the MRT and the BTS, both.
It's easy to get around. All right. Bangkok is chaotic. But it's a good chaos. It's a nice chaos.
Vibrant is what we say. It's vibrant.
That's exactly right. Then, but you know, just to digress, the most chaotic city I've been to is Kathmandu, which is just beyond belief. That is
Kathmandu is wild.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So be careful when you go there. Obviously, no one needs to rent a car in these places at all, right?
No. We always tell our teachers, no driving. No driving on the course. I'm not going to be responsible for any injuries or anything like that. It's extremely – that's like the biggest – people always ask, like, is Thailand safe? Is Bangkok safe?
Yeah.
And it's incredibly safe for a big city. Thailand and Southeast Asia in general, very safe places. Yeah. As long as you're on the sidewalk, because the roads
exactly
are
don't just cross the road. Yeah, I know. Well, it's terrific. Sort of jealous of you there. So now you spend a lot of time. You teach teachers to do English.
Yeah,
classes there. So I noticed your website here. It's the TEFL, right?
TEFL. Yes.
Stand for
Teaching English as a Foreign Language.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
I should have known that. Teaching English in a foreign language. Is this this type of thing has been around some time, hasn't it? But I don't know how long it's been around, but it's just a cool concept. I'll try to get my son to do something like this, but I can't get his head around to thinking about that. You know, he's got a decent job now.
Uh-huh. But
you can get this certificate online, even say if I was younger and it was a consideration for me, I could go online and get certified, right, to do this?
Yeah. So if you want to teach in a real classroom, you'll need some kind of in-person training. So the online is great for like, if you want to see what it's like, or if you want to teach online, you can do that. And then we actually have an accelerated program where if somebody has an online training, they come to us and skip like the learning phase of our course and they do classroom teaching practice. So part of our course is actually going into the classrooms at a local temple school and teaching real Thai students. So for people who do the online route, like they take the online training, then they come to us and they do some in-classroom practice just to show they can handle a classroom, and then we'll get them a job after that.
Okay. What age group are the kids? Or is it adults as well?
It is kindergarten through sixth grade, and then we typically do adult teaching as well, just so they can kind of get their hands on a few different age groups. And it's pretty cool because we actually teach at Wat Po, which is one of the most famous temples in Thailand.
Sure.
So there's a school. There's a temple school in the back. And temple schools are for kids that can't go to public school. So a lot of the kids are from Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, and are essentially stateless. Like they do have their families. It's not an orphanage or anything. But for this or that reason, they can't go to government school. They can't go to public school. So they go to the temple school. And so they don't have access to native speaking teachers or really English teachers at all. Their Thai English teacher just left. So we go in there and teach them for free, which is pretty sweet to be able to do.
Well, how many hours a day do teachers work there? I mean, what are school hours?
Yeah, it's Pretty similar to school back home, but you'll be teaching less, fewer classes. So we usually do, on average, it's like 20 to 24 contact hours per week. So 4 or 5 classes a day. And it's pretty chill. Like you get to school at 7:30. They'll have gate duty. So you'll kind of stand outside at the gate and the kids will why the teachers as they come
in. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Get a little bit of respect. It feels good, you know? And then they have like a morning assembly where all the school goes into like an atrium area and they just do announcements and songs. They might have you lead like a dance or something. And then you'll start class typically like 8:30 or 9 and then teach until 3:30. The schools usually want you to hang out to 3:30 or 4. So I'll just like do some grading afterwards. But yeah, that's it. Pretty chill job, honestly. And for a lot of things, you're teaching 4 or 5 classes a day. So it's not like you're completely loaded.
Is it like 5 days a week? Is it?
Yeah, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. And then you got weekends off. They've got 2 semester breaks in October and March, which is nice. You get like the whole
month, that is.
Yeah, the whole month off. And then there are 18 public holidays in Thailand. So they have a lot of public holidays. Right. So I think last week was like the Queen's birthday or something. And they put it on a Friday. So everybody had a 3-day weekend, which was nice.
Yeah, every country is different when it comes to holidays, aren't they? So the location you're in and, you know, semester comes along, it's very easy for you to leave town because everything's pretty close there in Southeast Asia. Like Bangkok is an airport hub, so is Singapore. So you can just fly anywhere where you get the urge to, a couple of hours away. Maybe. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I got back from Malaysia on Sunday. So I just went, it was a 2,000 baht, which is like $60.
Yeah, I know.
I just felt like going to Kuala Lumpur for the weekend. So I just bounced out.
Yeah, KL. That's a cool place.
It is. I was shocked. I didn't know much about Malaysia. I knew Kuala Lumpur was a city, but I was very impressed. I actually liked it a lot more than I anticipated. It was really cool. Really cool.
Yeah,
place.
The Petronas Towers there. If you ever get a chance to go, there's a great view up there. I had to go for a business meeting in there, which is what a place to have a meeting, right?
But it's crazy.
It's all good. So. You told me sort of Thailand, you chose Bangkok. Could it have been, apart from when you first went to Thailand, did you have the option of going to like Chiang Mai or somewhere else? Or did you just chose Bangkok?
Yeah. So I was working in Bangkok before I started the TEFL. I was teaching with a corporate language center and then I ended up running one of their centers, which is pretty cool. We had like 800 students and I was creating the curriculum. So that was fun. I did about 3 years of that and just kind of fell in love with Bangkok. I like Chiang Mai. I like Phuket. They're fun to visit. We probably will open up a branch in one of them just for people who want to be in Phuket or Chiang Mai, kind of a more touristy place. But Bangkok, I wouldn't want to live somewhere besides Bangkok because the coolest people are here, both foreign and especially Thai.
Yeah.
Like all of my friends that I've met that are entrepreneurs that are, you know, incredible mindsets, incredible conversations. Like I play in a basketball league and there are people from Thailand, Philippines, Nigeria, Germany, America, all on the same team. And so just to have those conversations and kind of have that network here is incredible.
It's super, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I actually didn't like it when I first got here. One reason I went to the countryside is because I told them anywhere but Bangkok, like just get me off the map. it's the city of opportunity. So I came here for opportunity and then did meet a girl here, which, you know, kept me here probably longer and then just fell in love with it.
The first time I went there was, all right, I'm going to show my age now, was 1980. Right.
Wow.
I could say that I was 2 years old when I went there, but that's not going to fly. And I think that hotel is still there today, the Grace Hotel.
Grace, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I stayed there and it was sort of an eye-opening experience, to be honest with you. But I got to like Thailand way back when. But then after a few years, I started to venture out more. Then I've been to Chiang Mai 2 or 3 times. My favorite hotel in the world is in Chiang Mai, the Dara Devi, like Dehevi. It used to be a Mandarin Oriental. It's just on the outskirts. It doesn't even look like a hotel. Mm-hmm. It looks like a Buddhist temple, but it's spectacular over rice fields. But if you ever go there, just go and see this. It's a super place. And so I got to see Thailand a bit more. And I've been to Phuket a few times and Koh Samui. And, and of course, when you're in Bangkok, because it's a very vibrant city, as you know, it's got its naughty side. I realize that. Yeah. So, you know, when the weekend goes, I'm sure you just don't stay inside and watch the TV, do you? You're getting out.
Well, these days, you know, I do try to work more and party less. But yeah, it's got a very vibrant nightlife scene, which appealed when I, you know, when I was in my 20s, mid 20s, it was a lot of fun. You know, I never really went to the side of town where the kind of the seedier places like Nana Plaza or Soi Cowboy or anything like that. Bangkok has a lot of like clubs. And so like Sukhumvit Soi 11, kind of right in the heart of the city, or Tong Lo, have a lot of clubs that have like hip hop music, EDM, like electric dance music. So I really like the nightlife in Bangkok because you can go out and, you know, if you go to a hip hop club, again, it's an international scene, and especially like it's full of Thai people that love hip hop and that love that style of music. And so we already have this kind of meeting point where we're singing along to the same songs, we're dancing to the same songs. And to me, that, you know, that's really cool. And so I still, you know, I almost see nightlife as networking sometimes, where it's like, okay, like, you know, I am going to go out, I might have a hangover tomorrow, but I'm going to sacrifice it for the people that I'm going to meet tonight. And have just made some incredible connections. So it is a lot of fun. And kind of the whole spectrum of fun. It's like, if you want to have a classy night out, go to a rooftop bar or something and just have a cocktail and a nice meal, you can do that. Or, you know, if you want to have a bit of a crazier night, that's also available.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all there for you. And it's, I know, out there. Within Thailand in general, but Bangkok, there's a lot of expats there.
A lot of Brits
move there, and a lot of
and one thing I've noticed is that like the expat community, it's like of every country. So there's a lot of Chinese people that move here, a lot of Japanese, Korean, Russian. And so another cool thing that I tell my teachers is that obviously Thai food is amazing and love it. But one cool thing about Bangkok is you can get really authentic Chinese food, really authentic halal food, really authentic Japanese food, because there are communities of Japanese people that live here and operate those restaurants. So
there you go. Indian food as well, right?
Indian food's out of sight. Yeah, I might get that for dinner tonight, actually.
There you go.
Indian around the corner.
Yeah, okay. you're spoiled for choice. I can't imagine that. it's all good. Now, you've stayed in Bangkok all these years, but you've probably got options, if you wanted to, in Asia, to go and teach English in other countries, right?
Absolutely. So one cool thing about the TEFL is that ours is internationally accredited, which means a third party has come in and looked at our curriculum and said, this is good. And they're an international organization. So we've actually got alumni in Budapest, Taiwan, Argentina, Spain, all around the world. So, you know, come and you do your TEFL in Bangkok, and maybe you teach in Thailand for a semester or a year, and then you go to Korea or you go to Japan. So and really any country in the world that needs English probably has some sort of TEFL industry.
Probably is. Yeah, I know in China now, they're making sure all the kids grow up to learn English. I don't know if the Chinese people are teaching them, but
it's a massive industry. Yeah. Mixed reviews from the teachers that we've had end up in China, just with things that are going, like how things are in China, but massive, massive industry, huge English industry. Same thing. Yeah. I mean, Japan, Korea, like every country, really. It's because English, like for better or worse, it is the language of opportunity, right? And it's, you know, the historical context isn't necessarily bright and shiny, but the truth is, it is the language of opportunity. In fact, you know, I always tell my teachers this: how much Chinese do you think the average Thai person speaks? A little bit, not really a lot. How much Thai does the average Chinese person speak? None. So how can Thai people go visit China?
Right.
English. In fact, the common language of the ASEAN Economic Council, so Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, is English, because Thai people don't speak Vietnamese and Vietnamese people don't speak Thai, and neither of them speak Khmer. So the only way that these countries, even regionally in Southeast Asia, can communicate and visit each other and connect with each other is English. It's the common language.
It's a common language.
Exactly. So, you know, that's kind of like the purpose side of what we do. It's like, I'm not passionate about the English language. It's got a lot of dumb grammar rules. I'm not a fan. I don't even speak it very well. Honestly, I'm an American. We've definitely had some liberties with it. But I'm passionate about communication. I'm passionate about people being able to travel and connect and have conversations and express as much as they can who they really are. I don't want language to be the limiting factor, right? When Thai people go to America, I want them to be able to express who they really are and what their thoughts are, what their ideas are, and kind of join this
global conversation. It's a good thing. Communication. Do you speak, you probably speak a bit of Thai as well now, do you?
Pud pasa Thai dai khap
dai. That's what I thought. Yeah, I agree with what you
said. Pretty well, yeah. I not fluent yet, but better than your average expat, for sure.
All right. I'm trying to think of any Thai words I know. Oh, yeah, I know Singha.
Singha.
But we're fortunate. I'm a Brit, of course, but most of the world speaks English. So we don't have to, but we're fortunate there that that's the way it is. So
exactly.
We're lazy in that regard, but you know, when I grew up in England, it's mandatory that we learn French. And, I mean, after we finished school, didn't speak a word of it. Don't need to. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So
same thing
that was it. Eh? If you had to leave Bangkok, well, you're not, I mean, it's you've got a visa. How long's your visa, by the way?
My visa, so I got my work permit through my own LLC, which is pretty nice. It was a logistical nightmare for sure. Luckily Americans, so technically in Thailand, everything has to be 51% Thai owned, every business, every condo building, except Americans are the only nationality that can start a business and own 100% of it, because of the Treaty of Amity. And what happened was during World War II, Thailand declared war on the United States. Nobody knew. America didn't even notice.
But that was brought on by the Japanese invasion, though, right?
Exactly.
The Japanese were forced to Thai to. It only lasted 2 years, I think. Then that went away. But
Thailand's their foreign policy is called the bamboo leaf swaying in the wind. So it's just whoever seems like they're doing better at the time. They're like, okay. So they saw Japan was kind of creeping in. And so they allied and declared war on America. And then as soon as the war ended, they're like, oh, sorry, you can start businesses here. So,
okay. That's a little good to know. You know, it's easy to go there. But if you weren't in Bangkok, what city would you be in? Outside of Thailand, for example. Outside of Thailand. If it wasn't Thailand, where would you go?
Where else in Thailand? That's a good question. I've actually thought about that. Like if I wanted to start a second branch, I like the South. I do like Chiang Mai. I love mountains. I lived in New Zealand for a year. I lived in Nepal for 6 months. So I love mountains. But the South of Thailand always struck me as extremely unique. There are places in the world that kind of look like Chiang Mai. And obviously the culture is different and everything, but the South of Thailand is just so unique. You know, that karst rising up out of the sea, the beaches, it's just, there's nothing like it. And so I think probably either Phuket or Krabi, either side of the Gulf.
Yep.
I like Krabi because it's a little bit more laid back. Phuket is quite intense. So probably Krabi. I'm a big rock climber too. There's a lot of really good rock climbing in Krabi. So, and then it's easy to get to. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes to an hour drive to get to Phuket.
Yeah, so I just wondered because, you know, I was near Krabi. I stayed at a place called Ao Nang.
Yeah, Ao Nang is nice. And, it's like right in between.
Exactly, Phuket. Phuket is obviously, you've got the wildness of Patong Beach, but outside of that, there's a smaller communities that are really laid back.
Kata area. Phuket gets a bad rep because people go to Bangla Road and they're like, oh, I don't like this. But Phuket is a lot bigger than that.
Oh, absolutely. It is. Yeah. It is just insane there. Just mental, but it's interesting. That's where I mentioned that I was in the Australian pub there. So the guy came in with some fried scorpions on a stick. And there was a two girls sitting next to me, and they sort of nibbling at them. It's quite funny to watch that, actually. Yeah, but you got to say
all the tourist tropes of Thailand are alive and well in Phuket.
Live and yeah, exactly. Yeah, funny because I'll be there in Thailand in March next year because I'm coming off do lecturing on cruise ships, and it takes out of Hong Kong and goes down Vietnamese coastline and stops in Singapore. So I'll stay in Singapore and then come over to Phuket. I wanted to go to place in Thailand that I haven't been to before, and that Chiang Rai. Right,
Chiang Rai is nice.
Right at the north. And also, if I go to Phuket and my flight's out of Phuket to come back here, I wanted to go to a place that's Rawai or further north, northern part of the west coast. I don't know. I'm still thinking about that right now, but I'm looking forward to that. So, you know.
Yeah. Yes, if you need any tips, again, I live here and we help our teachers travel. So we've got travel guides on pretty much every corner of Thailand. So
you go. I'm looking forward to that time. Well, that time will be here before we know it. So that's all right. So anyway, teach any other subjects besides English or just that?
So for my first year, I was a homeroom teacher. So I actually taught math, science, health, English, and phonics.
Okay.
And again, my students had no English at all. And so it was incredibly challenging. And actually, like, the company that I came with, their training is less than ideal. So it was actually one of the reasons I started my own TEFL company. A lot of TEFLs, because it's not really a regulated industry.
Yeah.
A lot of TEFLs, we call them teacher factories. It's like, how can we get the most people in and cycle them out as quickly as possible?
Yep.
And so they don't really do a good job of training the teachers. So I was a little bit undertrained when I went into my classroom, and then they handed me a math book, a science book, and I was teaching, you know, kids who could barely say my name is Peem about gravity and this concept that didn't really resonate with them. So that was extremely challenging. It's not common. Most teachers here will end up specifically teaching English unless they have a degree in one of those things. I did have a science degree, but definitely not a mathematics degree.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an uncommon situation. So there are subject teachers. Like, we've got a couple teachers, that just accepted math positions because they have degrees in math. But for the most part, it'll be English.
Yeah. I just wonder, because you're teaching there and you can live comfortably there. I think you do in Bangkok. So Bangkok's going to be probably a little bit more expensive than other cities. But it's the cost of living there is not high. I'm coming over to Thailand. I may pass through Bangkok on the way to Chiang Mai on flights. But looking at these on Sukhumvit Road, these super hotels they've got there, luxury hotels, and they're very reasonably priced.
Yeah. Right?
Back in the States, they'd be three or four times as much.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, the longer you live here, the more those savings set in, right? Because the hotels are more expensive than condos. So that's one of the biggest benefits that I tell my teachers is, like, you know, you come out here and I was able to pay off my student loans. I didn't take on any extra debt. You know, I was making about, my first year here, I was making about $1,200 a month, and my overall expenses were $500 or $600. Including rent, including utilities, including food.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and it's like, the longer you live here, like, I'm in this place, our business runs out of a 3-floor double townhouse.
Yeah.
You know, massive building. This is just the first floor. We've got a coffee shop on the first floor, and it's $900 a month. So
that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Even in Indiana, this would be $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah, I know.
So it's incredible. Meals are a dollar.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. And travel too. Like, you can go, I went to Malaysia for $60. You can get to Cambodia for $35.
Oh yeah.
Really? So it opens up a lot of opportunity. It really does. And I tell people, like, that's one of the best things about it is, you're not going to get rich teaching English abroad. You're making like between $1,200 and $1,500, and you can get up higher as you get more experience, but you don't need to be, right? Cause you're living comfortably. You're traveling, you're having a good time. You know, I learned what the word enough meant, because when I was in America before I came out here, high pressure sales job, you know, knocking on six figures, driving a nice car with nice stuff. And it was just more, right? Like, I think it was Mark Cuban or someone was like, they asked him, when is it enough? And he said, it's never enough. Yeah. You need more. And when I finally moved out here, I learned what enough meant, and it changed my life. I mean, because obviously I want things, I'm ambitious for sure, but it's balancing that ambition and that drive for more and for success, whatever that means, but also gratitude and peace and kind of just sustenance.
You're in your happy place.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot of Americans who are leaving the country. They have been over the last 2 or 3 years because they've had enough. A lot of them go to Mexico or Latin America, mm-hmm. Costa Rica. Some go over to Europe. Some uh-huh. obviously come over to Asia. So they're going all over the place. Digital nomads in Thailand, I heard they get 10-year visas now. So
you can. So that's, they've got like an elite visa. It's a bit expensive. Yeah. But yeah, you can, I think it's like, it's almost like $10,000. It's pretty expensive for the 10-year. They are considering making a specific visa for digital nomads. I know Indonesia has one, but Thailand doesn't yet. What a lot of people do is they'll take like a Muay Thai course or a Thai language course, and you can get a 1-year visa.
Yeah.
And then as long as your clients are outside of Thailand, you don't need a work permit. So you just come here for a year, do Muay Thai, do a Thai language class. And then if you want 2 years, you could actually do a language class and then Muay Thai. Cause as long as it's not the same thing, you can do another one. So that's typically what people will do, and then just kind of work remotely. So,
all right. I just wonder, because up until recently, probably a few years ago, it may be the same to some degree today. People have bumped into expats in Thailand. They used to go on once a month visa runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's
up to Laos or whatever, go through Udon Thani over the border into Laos and come back in again. That'd be set for another 30 days or whatever it is.
Yeah. Exactly. So there are people that do that. I will say that Thailand is starting to kind of clamp down on that a little bit more. It used to kind of be you could just bounce out and come back and bounce out and come back. And now they're starting to ask more questions. They're starting to kind of look a little bit closer at how many visa exempts you've done, which is the border hop. So flying is still pretty easy, but some of the land borders, like the Cambodia, the Phoi Pet land crossing, their border agents are strict. I mean, are they really? They'll grill
you. You mean to come back into Thailand or go over to Cambodia?
They'll let you go out, but coming back in, they're going to be asking some questions for sure.
Ooh, that could be tough, right? let you go, but can't get back in, right?
So that's why I usually instruct people like get a long-term visa, right? Because if you've got a year, then you don't have to keep bouncing across the border. It's just easier.
When was the last time you were back in Indianapolis?
I think like 2021, 2022. So it's been a little while. Because my family, so my mom and sister came out to visit here at the end of last year, which was really fun. And then I saw my dad in Italy. He took my other sister to Italy for like a family trip. And so I went and joined them. So I saw my family this year, but in different countries. So not back in Indiana.
Yeah.
Honestly, like it's tough. Like, you know, you love your home. It's always a part of who you are, but I don't really like going back. A lot of my friends are gone. I do miss my family. I love my family. We have a big extended family. Yeah. So I do miss them. But you know, 2 weeks is usually enough. A week and a half is usually enough. And then I start remembering why I left. It's, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, there you go. Just goes to prove you're in your happy place right now.
Yeah.
No, if you're happy, there's really no need to move anywhere else, I guess. But at least.
Exactly.
Get a few days off, you can just jet off somewhere, which is really cool. So your website, destinationtefl.com, right? Is that, if anyone out there wants to get in touch with you, is that the website to use?
Yeah, they can use the website or our Instagram, like teaching. I think it's teaching in Thailand.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Okay. I've got all this stuff on there. So
And if they DM me or if they DM teaching in Thailand, that shoots straight to me. I check that every day. So that's probably the best way. The website, it could go to we have an international office as well.
Yeah.
So it could be them, but you know, obviously I'm very pleasant to talk to. So if you go through the Instagram, it'll go straight to me.
All right. Got it. Of course, I'll send you a LinkedIn invite, by the way. I'll see you on LinkedIn. It's all good. So that's what, well, you're happy, just let life tick along there. you're happy and no reason to change anything right now. And
well, like, I am happy. I'm very happy. I do have plans. Like, I love this. I love TEFL. I love bringing teachers over here. You know, I think it's a growing industry. Like you were saying, you weren't aware of it when you were younger. And I think a lot of people aren't. And I wasn't. I really wasn't. I lucked into it. I had a friend who was interested and just told me about it.
Yeah.
But I had never considered it. And so one thing that I want to do is I just want to make this, I want to put this on more people's radar. I really do. So my plan is kind of to hire a trainer, hire people, a manager to kind of run things here. And then I want to go to universities. I want to go travel and talk to people about this, kind of spread the awareness that this is something that you can do. And then obviously, you know, grow to other countries and just cause again, I do believe we train the best teachers in Thailand. You know, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't. So, you know, go to Vietnam and open up there, go to Argentina and open up there. So kind of wherever people, we had a woman do our program who was from Egypt. She wants to open one in Egypt. We had a guy from Brazil. So just kind of facilitating, that around the world, but really just putting it on more people's radar. I think a lot of people would benefit from this and just aren't aware that it's a thing. Cause if you look at like all the travelers now, so many people just want to be like influencers or content creators. And the truth is, like, that form of travel is actually really destructive, right? When you go to a place and you just use it as a backdrop to your own devices, you're coming here and you're consuming, you're taking away, you're creating a transactional relationship between Thai people and foreigners.
Yeah.
And you're inspiring more people to do that, to come here and just go to the hotels and, you know, like travel as opposed to, or sorry, be a tourist as opposed to being a traveler. Versus when you live in a place and when you work there and you connect with the community, like this kind of experience, you know, you create deeper connections. And so I think that the younger generation, they want to travel, but they want to do something meaningful with their lives as well. Yeah. And the truth is, like, travel's great, but if you're not doing something, you're just running in really big circles. And that's exactly kind of what I found as I was traveling. And then when I started teaching, I was like, oh shit, like this is what I was looking for. Yeah. So yeah, I just want to spread it. Like that's my mission. That's my drive. Yeah. I just want to put this on more people's radar.
Well, traveling is obviously educational and it's self-fulfillment also. And it's a great thing to do. So yeah, funny because many years ago, in the 2007, I lived in Singapore. So I was close to everything. And you know, that's become the most expensive place on the planet. It's sort of next door to Thailand. It's amazing, really. I just read something today. I keep in touch with it. To be able to qualify to have a car, you've still got to give the government like $76,000. And that doesn't mean you get a car, right? Yeah, that qualifies you to buy a car. It's unbelievable. Crazy. Yeah, it's changed a lot. And that's just down the street for you, basically. But it's a great place. So, but anyway, all right. Well, I wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you.
And if I'm ever in Bangkok, I'll let you know.
Look me up. We'll grab a Singha.
Have a Singha or two. And what's the other beer that beer that? Leo and Chang, right?
Leo, Chang, and Singh are the big three. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, see, I did remember something from my visit to Thailand.
There you go. Yeah.
The important stuff.
A man of culture.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, good talking to you and best of luck with your training stuff. I'm glad you're enjoying life. That's the main thing. And you're getting out and all that stuff. So if someone wants to get hold of you, they can just get hold of you on the website and all that. All right.
Website, email, or just shoot a DM on Instagram is probably the easiest way.
What's your email address?
If you want to Bangkok at destinationtefl.com. Bangkok at destinationtefl. Yeah.
Got it.
So.
All right, man.
But DMs are probably the best. I check them more frequently. I should check email more, but you know.
Yeah, I know. But well, all right, Matt. I'll let you go.
All right.
I've got a round of golf to play now. Believe it or not.
All right.
But I tell you, just as a sidetrack, if you need golf, Phuket is great for golf. By the way.
Oh yeah,
Phuket has some golf in there.
Really good golf. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to tell my golfing buddies they need to get over to Phuket. And it's
not expensive. It's very affordable.
Exactly. All right, man. Take care.
Keep in touch. You too. Have a good day. Yeah.
Many thanks for joining me today. This is Malcolm Teasdale signing off. Before I do, please check out my website, malcolmjteasdale.com, for more information about my travels around the world. Okay, folks, talk to you later. Bye for now. Stay safe.